Want to hear Scott Johnson rant about his kill-death ratio, his APM score, or his affair with Lord Jaraxxus? You're in luck, because Scott Johnson is joining forces with Bleacher Report to bring you a new podcast covering everything esports. Whether it's MOBA, FPS, CCG, RTS, or FGC, OMG, it all comes together at one place, Rally Point, forming up this August.
Aw, man, I want a sniper healer in Heroes. This is Core.
Hello, everyone. This is Core. It's episode 41. I'm Scott Johnson with John Jagger and Bo Schwartz. I almost said John Schwartz and Bo Jagger. Bo Jagger, that's not bad.
It's a pretty good name.
You got to move like Bo Jagger is the hot hit of the 90s. Anyway, I'm a little out of it. I got a little caffeine in me. I'm ready to roll. 1 week later, boys. What do we think of health, minion, and catapult changes? I am happy to report that I think it made the game better. And I don't just mean certain maps or certain scenarios or certain comps. I mean that I like that the map is now a thing I've got to pay closer attention to and not just sort of go, oh, those minions are doing a thing. Let's go over here and get this other fight going. That we have to kind of, not micromanage, but we have to manage our map in a smart way to win the game. And you can no longer just ignore these little minions and what they do to some extent. So my vote is, I think this improved the game. It may need some, you know, fine-tuning, but for the most part, I'm pretty happy with it. Bo? How are you feeling about minions being able to tear your towers down in no time flat?
I'm terrified. I'm terrified of the minion waves now when I play Heroes. As soon as I see any base that has minions near it, I feel like it has to be addressed. I think it's good. I think I'm with you that this anxiety is good. The fact that the map has to be important is really good. So, but generally speaking, I'm terrified. I am so terrified of the minion waves.
Yeah.
And I constantly want them to be pushed out and nowhere near my stuff. Touch my stuff.
It's much more meaningful than it used to be, in my opinion. It just feels more substantial. It feels like an important thing. Before, it just felt like robot dudes doing nothing in a lot of ways. Now, sometimes it, you know, they clog up the lane and you're trying to fight and all of that. And some of your abilities need, you know, heroes to hit instead of minions, and oh shoot, my skill shot hit a minion. I didn't mean to hook a minion with stitches or whatever. But now that all's still there. But later on, or even early in the game, it's just like you can't let them do that. So you have to split your time a little better, manage your team better. John, what's your hot take on the state of minion play?
Well, my concern, I like it. I'm with both of you. I think it's good. But my concern is that I have perhaps reacted too far in the other direction. My worry is that while they're definitely more of a threat than they've been before, that now I have now considered them threat level number one, and maybe I'm starting to get a little too tunnel visioned on them, because all of a sudden I've caught myself now saying, oh no, there's minions down there. Hold on, guys. I know you're about to fight the enemy team, but somebody has to deal with this problem, and I disappear down there to go take care of that. And I don't know that that's always the correct answer. I don't know that the minions always need to be pushed back as diligently as I seem to believe they need to be. But I don't know. We're still figuring it out. Maybe I'm treating them with the exact level reverence that I should be.
Do you think it's just a matter of us getting the rhythm right? Because it is, that's what it represents, really. It's just a change in rhythm of the entire match. And here's a good example. No longer can you just hang around Doubloon Phil up there by the turn-in on docks and just stand there and wait for something to happen. Like, you can, and you can guard it, and you can try to stop turn-ins and things like that. And you need to. This still needs to be part of the game. But meanwhile, there is a horde of minions up top that are doing double the damage they used to do, or 50% damage more than they used to do, with catapults and arrow chuckers, to an important keep or to an important gate. And you can't just wait it out like you used to be able to wait it out. So, I mean, the anxiety is real. Like, it's a real thing. And we had a couple of games together, although it's been a little while since we played. I've had a busy week. But there were moments of real terror. Like, oh my gosh, you guys. Minions are, like, literally on. In fact, didn't we lose a game where none of us knew? That never happens. Like, never. We're all over there pounding on something, and suddenly the camera shifts over to the other side, and we're dead. And it was like four or five minions left that were doing it, and none of us knew it was happening. That is unheard of in our matches. We always know when something's going on. We have great map awareness. I said grape map awareness. We have grape map awareness, the best flavor.
I'll find
for map
them
awareness.
Great maps everywhere.
Mm, they're so good.
It's real tasty.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's just a, it's sometimes it's like, whoa, if someone get down there and do a thing, maybe we just have to get used to that, if that's possible.
Well, I think it's because, like, I remember in some of those matches, I was aware that they were there, but I was not thinking in the new way of thinking, which is like, oh, we got time. Those catapults will dawdle around with our minion waves. Let's do this fight and go back. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong a couple times. I'm just wrong, just incorrect. The correct answer was go back and defend as soon as possible. Mainly because those damn catapults fixate on things now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
it's
no
not
longer
safe to
yeah.
just leave them middle, you know, mill about for a good minute before they start hitting your core. They go right after it, and they're brutal. And so there's been a learning curve this week. And I think it's good for the game, but it's anxiety inducing.
Well, it used
now to... you're like, it's like, do I fight? Do I go back? 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 And then you know.
Well, before the fixation thing, the fixation thing's interesting because before that, you could have, I don't know, a whole wad of those catapults on your core. And when your core area would spawn a bunch of new minions, catapults would immediately turn on the minions and fight mm-hmm. them until they were gone. But usually that meant they were dead because they were getting swarmed. Now they literally do not move. They just keep throwing boulders, like you said, at your core. That cannot happen. That cannot be allowed. Like, that's a thing you have to stop. You can no longer sort of just hope that your minions spawn and take care of it. And they'll fight the thing. I mean, your minions will spawn and they'll beat on the catapult, but the catapult's not going to stop shooting until its final point of life is taken from it.
And eventually a catapult wave versus a lane with only regular minions will overpower it, and eventually that lane will just succumb to overwhelming numbers if ignored,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Without any intervention. So
the two questions was it healthy for the game, number one, and two, have we adapted? I think it is healthy for the game. So far, that's how I feel. But I don't know about the have we adapted part. And I don't just mean us. I mean the player base. Like, it seems to be opinions are all over the place on this thing. There's some people upset about it. There's some people who are okay with it. There's some people who love it. And there's probably plenty in between who don't even know something changed. But I feel like it's going to take some adjusting. It's going to take a lot of games to sort of get your head around it. And you have to multiply that by every map there is, because every map behaves differently. And that's one tricky thing about this game. When you change something as fundamental as the way minions play and what they do and how much damage they dish out, suddenly you have to apply that to, you know, 8-9 maps that are all designed to play differently at different speeds, different number of lanes, different distance. I'll count it down. I'll say 3, 2, 1, Bo, and then you'll do it. All right?
All right.
So here we go. Yep. 3, 2, 1, go.
That's a good point, Scott. And move it along now.
Well, look at that.
Laughing? I agree with you.
Yeah, look at that. It was an amazing transition. It's almost like I didn't finish the sentence, and that, but you were in such agreement that you went ahead and agreed with me anyway. All right, we have to come clean.
It was really hard not to.
This was 2 days ago, folks at home listening. If you're getting the show now, you're already aware that the show's late, but you're not sure why. Well, we lost power, or I lost power specifically, during the recording on, when do we record? Tuesday night. And didn't have power all night till it came back, and then didn't have internet till about 2 the next day. So here we are, Thursday. It's like a whole new show, except we're not talking about minions anymore. We're done with them for now.
We already did that. That felt like forever ago.
Yeah, it does seem sort of like forever ago. But anyway, we're back, and we're just going to continue. We got a show to do. It's a bunch of stuff here on the notes. It says we should keep moving, so we're going to. I want to jump right into a thing that I was ready to jump into Tuesday and didn't get a chance to, and that is that Bo is endeavoring to play in Diamond League. Not just reach Diamond League, but play there. And you've been doing that, and you say it's challenging. It's hard. Why is it hard?
I'm not sure. It just is. So I climbed up from gold to make it to diamond, and then... Okay, so I've qualified for Diamond 5. That's the lowest version or division of the Diamond League five times.
Yeah.
I'm actually working on 6.
Whoa.
And there were people it's funny, I played an HL Hero League game before starting the show. We had a conversation, the five of us, about how games in Platinum are actually way better than games in Diamond because everyone picks proper team comps, they play as a group, and everyone's very social. In Diamond, every time I qualify, I win a bunch of games, I qualify, and then I lose 3 games in a row. It happens almost without fail.
Do you think Diamond's just
it's
like the
driving
last?
Me nuts.
Is it the last, like the last border of sanity for the game? Like, you know, is there a certain threshold where everybody stops being buttholes and everyone starts cooperating? And you're saying that that's Platinum?
Honestly, my teammates are worse. and I hate being like that, but literally, there are a lot of mistakes that you wouldn't expect to see, and I can be more serious about why that might be, but. Let me just say this. Diamond League has been very challenging. And I'm not sure if it's me or if it's all the players are working at some higher secret levels that I haven't figured out yet. But I don't know. It's just I've sort of been proud of my progress and then I've hit a big wall. And I just want to say, you know, sometimes you come across comments that are like there are too many grandmasters or there are masters. I guess there can only be one. Yeah. Or 500,
right.
But
just a Diamond small League's, gap there between Diamond those League's, two numbers.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to make a referential joke.
Sure,
but it made absolutely no sense. Yeah. So
it's
Thursday,
it's like,
guys. Yeah. We were starting Tuesday, and now the magnetism of the planet has changed, and there's something a little bit different in the air. So if I'm off, it's because it's Thursday.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
Yeah. So. But I'm proud that you're doing it. I mean, it seems like you're. I mean, your goal this season, this first real season that we've had in the game in the year and a half the game's been out or in our hands, seems like it's to get all the way. Like, you really want to aim, maybe not for Grandmaster, but you certainly want to be right up there.
Yeah, the goal really is Master, and I felt real bullish about my odds as the progression was quick, but it slowed down quite a bit.
Mm.
And variance is a thing, and I'm trying to, I'm at the point where I'm starting to tilt.
Yeah.
We know by reputation, I don't tilt very much.
Yeah.
And not rage tilt, but just there's that kind of tilt that's stubborn that just, you know, no, I'm definitely going to do this. I'm definitely going to do this.
Yeah.
And I've hit a bit of a wall, but I just wanted to say that, you know, it's challenging, but also rewarding. And there's time pressure. I only have 6 weeks, maybe.
Yeah. It's not a lot of time. It's actually
I got
kind
6
of,
weeks to get the fancier version of the Kodo and to just have the ego that you earn, I presume, from being master. I don't know. I haven't been there.
Is it the fire lizard? That's the one that's this month, right?
Or
this
epic season. Elemental mount. It's like a Kodo thing.
I thought they called it a fire lizard or something, or a lava lizard, didn't they?
I think we're calling it that.
Mm. I call it a Stegosaurus.
Good. Someone needs to call it like they see it. Make America great again. So let's talk. I also want to ask you about what the end game for you. So last night I checked online to see what was going on, and I noticed that you were on when I checked, and that was about 9 o'clock my time, which is 11 your time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I checked later at about 11:30 my time, and you were still on. Still playing Hero League games. So it's not it's not for lack of trying. If you get at the end of this, what is your plan? Are you going to go, oh man, all that work and sweat and pain, and I never got into Master, forget it next season? Or are you just going to see this as one of your little Zen stepping stones and you're going to move on to the next season and take it then?
It's hard to say. I'm committed to giving it the full effort for the duration of the season, which might mean that my opportunity here is I need a solid duo partner to climb the ranks. Hi, Kyle Ferguson. We should play more.
that's a real subtle hint there, Bo. I like it.
But no, seriously, I think that there are new strategies that I have to cope with to get to that higher level because I know I'm worthy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. I really enjoy playing. Like, if I get to the end of this and I don't achieve my goal, I'll be fine because I'm having a good time. I'm really kind of addicted to this game. This first season has come out, and I've had a renewed vigor for for playing ranked as opposed to the other modes. I don't know. We'll see how it is next season. You know, that first Diablo season, I was really gung-ho. Yeah. Season 7's here, and I'm like, well, okay. Who knows if that'll be how I feel next season. Yeah. What about you guys? I know here, like, Rando McRandostons don't appeal to you guys very much. But have you been able to catch a game of Hero League here and there in the past week?
This is part of my problem, and John, you can confirm or deny this, but our experience in Team League has been so much fun and turned out to be kind of the way I prefer to play this game that it has not, I haven't been very motivated to single queue anything since then. And I don't exactly know why. Like if I get on and one of you guys are on and we even just do quick matches or something, that's all great. Or even if we dual queue Hero League, but I don't have any desire to be very competitive there, but I do have that feeling in Team League, which is ironic since Team League is so underplayed overall by the player base, partly because it's hard to get five people together all the time. But man, that changed my whole point of view. John, where's your head on all this competitive play?
Yeah, I'm actually right there with you. I've been wanting to play. I've had the itch to get into Heroes something fierce, but I don't know. We've had such a good experience in Team League where it's just like, man, this is the way this game should be played. This is exactly what this game should be. That when I think about going in by myself or with one other person, I just all of a sudden I'm like, what if I didn't do that, though? What if I went and played something else? I don't know. It's weird. It's like going into your kitchen and it's like you can have steak. Sorry, vegans out there. I like steak.
Sure.
This analogy won't work for you. I apologize. Yeah. You could have steak, or you could have something that's not steak.
It's a compelling argument. I know it sounds funny, but not steak is really not good. Steak is much better.
I agree. I feel that way too. And you and I have both on our sort of when we've had time to play things. We've been playing The Witcher pretty heavily, and that game's got its claws in me pretty deep, and it really is kind of like that choice. I'll go to the hero screen, say, all right, who's on right now, how much effort am I going to go through to try to find enough people to either five man this or at least have enough for two or three of us, and then I go, well, I could go knock out some Witcher side quests instead. So I don't know what that means for the game, except to say I feel like we got spoiled by our time in Team League, and
exactly what I'd say.
And it's been hard to change, hard to get everybody back together. It's been summer, you know, summer's weird, and everybody's kind of all over the place. And I've been maybe one of the worst at that. It's been crazy around here, but I desperately want to get back in there. And the minute somebody says, "Oh, hey, all five of us are on, let's go," that's when I stop caring about all the other video games I have, and I want to just play that. So I don't know what that means. Maybe that speaks more about us than the game. But, Team League, as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of where it's at. And maybe it's because we just won a lot of games, and this is an artificial feeling. This is a very temporary feeling of greatness, and I think that mode's great only because we've won a bunch. And the minute we start losing, I'm going to sour on it. I don't know. But I want to play more to find out.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Winning is fun. Winning's pretty good.
Yeah, winning's all right.
You know? It turns out. And also, it's unexpected. So there's also that element of, like, you go into Team League and you think, okay, well, this is the mode that's notorious for people getting just rolled by another team and long queue times. And the long queue times are there, but then we're the ones doing the rolling. And you just think, well, this is about as much fun as you can have any time in a game. So I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know how I would feel if we started losing, but at the same time, you're there with four of your friends, you're joking around, you're doing dumb stuff. That has to be better than, you know, losing by yourself.
Yeah. I think that's an objective point of view. I don't think it's possible to see that in any other way. Can you have fun in single? Of course. Bo's having fun. He's playing a lot on his own, doing real well, in fact, kicking our butts, certainly. But yeah, it's hard for me to be as motivated to go in there as a single queue player. And again, I don't think it says anything that's wrong with the game. It's just summer, man. Summer's weird. Summer's got me playing a game I haven't played since last year and thought I was maybe done with. And now I'm playing it like crazy. And we got weird stuff on the horizon coming out. And one of them better be good or else we got another What was that game that was terrible that what's his name worked on? I can't think of his stupid name. What was the name of that thing where you made the little squishy guys? People mainly made penises.
Oh, Spore.
Spore. I don't want another Spore on our hands with No Man's Sky, but that's on the horizon. World of Warcraft has an expansion coming out. Like, there's big stuff coming. And
Deus Ex.
Oh, Deus Ex, that's right. Human Revolution. Is it Human Revolution?
I forgot about that.
What's the new one called? It's not Human Revolution. That was the first one.
Missing People.
Missing People. Yeah.
Mankind Divided. Mankind Divided.
Oh, that's it. All right. I like the Missing People DLC is going to be real good.
Deus Ex. Missing People.
but
never asked for
it. It does a funny thing to the tentpole things that I'm used to playing and loving, and it happens every summer, so I just, you know, it is what it is. I'm even playing more WoW than I am Heroes right now, which is a total flip. It's usually the other way, and it's because of that new patch. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and also Overwatch has got this new character who's super great, and I've been playing that a lot. My kids now have it, so it's like a three-LAN party thing going on in here all the time. Like, it's hard to not want to do that with them.
Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go.
There's the Pokemon Go.
There's no podcast that you do that you will not talk about Pokemon Go on now.
It's true. I feel like that's true, but even that I've been kind of bad at. Like, today I realized I only have like 32 of the Pokemon.
that's a good Deus Ex DLC.
Right. That's not bad. Anyway, here, I'm going to make Pokemon. I'm going to make your life more complicated, Bo. Not only is that Deus Ex game coming out, but they're making a Deus Ex Go game for mobile, which should be great. If those other two Go games for Hitman and Lara Croft are any indication, you are in for some rad Deus Ex Human Revolution Missing People business.
And also, not to just change the topic so suddenly, but you're doing yet another podcast.
Oh, yeah, I should talk about that.
All about the esports.
We should talk about this real quick just to get it out of the way, because I will probably bring it up again later. And so we'll give it a brief mention now. As we get closer, we'll talk about it more. But so here's the deal. Turner Broadcasting, they own Bleacher Report. If you know what Bleacher Report is, chances are you're a sports guy. If you know what ESPN is, Bleacher Report is like Turner Broadcasting's sort of answer to ESPN. And they have a very popular website and very popular sports-related stuff dealing with traditional sports, football, baseball, whatever. They are deciding to get really heavy-duty into esports very soon. In fact, already in lots of ways. And part of this initiative is to start a podcast that will happen twice a week that will feature me, Brian Huff, and Seven all doing this show called Rally Point. And it's about the entire gamut of esports, with guests coming on that are developers from various companies like Riot, Blizzard, and whoever, right? Valve, if they, you know, I'm very curious to talk to somebody from Valve, because they're very quiet usually. They're not the ones out there in the up in front the way that Blizzard and others have been. But regardless, our chance to talk to some of these movers and shakers that make the games, talk to professional players that play games like CS:GO, and seeing what the burgeoning scene with Overwatch is looking like, talking to Heroes streamers and casters, as well as players and developers. So the goal is to create a really interesting show all around esports in general, across the board, multiple games, multiple publishers, and we expect it to be kind of a big whoop. So you can actually get it on iTunes right now. If you go to bleacherreport.com/esports, there'll be a ton there as well. But if you use iTunes, sub to it early. We'll have other feeds soon that'll work with all your other podcatchers on Android and Apple or whatever. So very soon, Bleacher Report's Rally Point. It's going to be rad. So go check that out, everybody.
Great name, by the way.
Yeah, I like it.
Cool name. I like it.
I got to give Brian credit for that. That was his idea. And I think it fit. I think it was really good. And I think it's a good companion piece to this show, because so much of what we talk about here is so specific to Heroes. This other show is going to give people a much broader look at the mobile world and shooters and fighting games. We talked a ton about Evo last time we did a run through, and talked about, you know, Street Fighter 5 and where it's at and what the competitive scene there looks like and how the recent tournament went and everything else. And it's it's just real vibrant and exciting. So if you're into that sort of stuff, or if you're a Bleacher Report fan, bleacherreport.com/esports. Thanks, Bo, for reminding me.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for it. I'll be the first to download and listen. So, well,
thanks, man. It'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Tempo Storm acquiring Tempest. That, and out of context, that sounds like a weird thing to say, but Tempo Storm is acquiring Tempest. Does that mean, right off the bat, does that mean Tempest is now a Korean team? Are they still not a Korean team and can compete the way they always have, or are now they rolled into the Korean, you know, finals?
If I had to speculate, I'd say it's a Korean team with North American owners.
Okay.
That would be my speculative answer. I don't know for sure. I think that's the case, because I don't remember seeing their team name in any of the stuff when they're talking about the North America regionals coming up for this last fall season in Heroes of the Storm. So I think they'll still be considered a Korean team.
Well, if there's one thing I know for sure, it's that Korea sure could use some more really good esports players, because they're really lacking in that department. They've had a terrible time. I'm kidding, of course. They are the best there is in the world. Anyway, so they got picked up. So I don't know what this means, other than I guess it's good. Does it mean that Tempo Storm will continue to compete in Heroes, or is this, what does this mean?
The two like biggest celebrity style franchises in Heroes history, at least as far as North America is concerned, were Cloud9 and Tempo Storm, with the rivalry in the beginning. And so I think we tend to track Tempo Storm and tend to track Cloud9 with a bit of difference, which is why this is kind of news, because Cloud9, you know, went away. They're gone. Right. They walked away. And Tempo Storm, it was never clear. It was clear that they were doing a roster shakeup, but a lot of the Tempo Storm people moved on to do things like casting Dreadnoughts, like Mr. Heroes of the Storm with Gillyweed over there. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people do like the Tempo Storm brand, and were interested to see what they were going to bring to become more competitive, because you know they were, that franchise, the owners or whoever's running it, they're intent on being, you know, number one in Heroes, at least as far as North America is concerned, if not the world. And while they did just that, they're like, well, who are the best players? Clearly MVP Black or Tempest. And MVP Black probably said no, or probably, you know, and Tempest were looking for, and this is all speculation, talking out of my behind, and they just got the best players. They're just like, nothing matters. We just want the best players because we want to win. That's the narrative the fictitious narrative I'm spinning, but you can't ignore the elephant in the room to be like, you didn't pick your North American like roots and you didn't pick North American player. Like, I'm sure they have a name. It's Tempest. It's a pretty good name too.
Yeah. Like if you're going to do this, imagine, they must have done it because they like the name, right? Because why else would you do this?
Like, yeah. They're like, hey, Tempest, Tempo Storm. Hey, what if we got together and made a little something happen?
Yeah.
I don't understand how the money changes hands I get how for the players, they're like, oh, we get nothing as Tempest, but these guys are willing to, I guess, give us some money or give us some sponsorship. Like, there must be some incentive there to join Tempo Storm. I'm not sure what Tempo Storm gets out of it. Mm. I guess that's sort of my thing.
Yeah, because Tempest gets saved, right? They basically
get saved.
Yeah,
the players are happy.
Yeah, they get saved from Oblivion, which is good. But on the other hand, I don't know what Tempo Storm gains other than a name. I mean that about the name. Like, what else is there?
They get Korean to essentially fans. Put their brand on, you know, hopefully who they're betting essentially is going to be the champions going forward.
That's true.
But being, and I have no idea the inner workings of Tempo Storm, but like, they do have a site where there's content. They're heavy in the Hearthstone thing. A lot of it is English based. I don't know if they do translation into other languages. I feel like their potential clients, like the readers, the eyeballs, the people that are interested in Tempo Storm are mainly English speaking. Mm-hmm. And so how is Tempo Storm appealing to, you know, Korean fans? Like, are they going to be making content for Koreans? Like, where does the revenue come from for them? It's all a mystery to me. And so I don't know. But yeah. Regardless, good for them.
I'm glad they got saved. Yeah.
There's nothing bad about this. It's just weird. It just felt like a weird move to me.
Has this been made official yet, or is this still unofficial?
It was kind of
official now.
It is official now. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Tuesday it was unconfirmed, so we were going to speculate hard.
Yeah.
And then they announced it, and so now I'm still speculating hard.
Darn it, I'm going to speculate.
It was the best of the Deus Ex DLC, I think.
Speculate harder. The final package of the DLC. Let's talk about Reddit balance team Q&A highlights. Bo, you got a question answered on the Q&A. That was nice.
Yeah, I felt super special. You know, there's just nothing, you know, when one of the developers was, or balance team design people, I don't know their titles exactly, balance teamers.
Yeah.
When, you know, when they answer your questions, it makes me look good. I like that little stuff. So
what was your question? What did you get answered?
I had three questions and got three answers. The first one kind of sucked, but I asked if they thought they were going to introduce any like chance on hit, like maybe make a character who would do critical strike, even though critical strikes aren't in the game, like a mechanic. And they said no, basically. They try to avoid RNG, so probably not. The other one was I asked them if they ever thought they'd make talents for map-specific talents. So it's a talent you only ever get, and the example I use was on Infernal Shrines, where you could talent into getting a lure for the Punisher, like a fishing lure or a Pokemon lure, where you, the Punisher usually jumps on your guys, but instead you could throw the lure out and it would jump on the lure that you sent.
Yeah.
And he said it was funny and it was a good idea, but they probably wouldn't give that to everyone, just to Murky.
Okay.
So I like to think if we see something like that in the future, that's me. I get credit for it. I don't need money or royalties, but you heard it here first on Core.
Yeah.
I actually really like the idea of Murky having a talent slot that is reserved that changes per map. Like, that is just something that he brings to the party every single time. It's just a Murky thing. And he gets one special ability that he can potentially pick every time a map comes
up.
But
what would that be? Like let's use an example. Like, I don't know, you're on docks, and what's the special thing he gets because
he can make the octopus jump out of the water that's there and kill
someone. All right. Coins are stored on his egg and not him.
That's not bad. Yeah, look,
John,
actually, you
big ideas.
That's a real idea. That's not bad at all.
Although I just thought of like. You just put that back at your core and you can just hoard coins at that point. So I'm going to disprove it as soon as I say it, but it seems like a cool thing. So.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Maybe the coins slowly like roll away from the egg back to Blackheart. So you've got to pick them back up. Put them back up.
You just see these little coins just slowly rolling across the map everywhere you go.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Like a trail of ants, right? To
watch
Murky's
out, balance
egg.
Team. There's another balance team that'll come in and do your jobs for you if things go wrong.
No kidding. Well, that's awesome that they answered your... Wait, was there a third or we did the
there
third
was a third. There was a third question, and I said, this was the more serious of the three. Are there any plans to further incentivize the decision for players to either lane jungle diligently versus roam as a group or for objectives? So increase the opportunity cost of ignoring lane. Something we talk about a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Matt Cooper says, we are exploring ideas to encourage players to split up a bit more in the early game. So it's okay at a certain point, but it might be happening too much in the early game. So they're looking for ways to keep the team split up before level 10 and not to encourage the whole 10-man fight for everything kind of deal.
That's interesting. That's interesting because we've been talking lately about how that is now the norm. Like we used to kind of do that. We used to say, take top, Scott. We're going to be here. And Eric, you take bottom. And Schmeichmach would go down to bottom. And then we would do some sort of, you know, something there. But now everybody's like, wad up in the middle. Let's see if we can get a fight out of this. Oh, nothing. Okay, now we can split up a bit. Sounds like what they want to do is make the brawler a little less brawlery.
Now, Schmer can come back because he's a little scared because we're always saying, what are you doing in the bottom lane, Schmeichmach?
Yeah.
And now he's going to be like, because I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
What?
He always says it. Now he can mean that when he says it, which would be good. I don't think Eric's listening right now. What else? Or Schmerich, sorry. I've said too much. So let's talk about some of this other stuff. There are plans to rework three characters in particular, Rexxar, Butcher, and Nazebo. I feel like we knew about Butcher's getting some big changes because there's some stuff on the forums, but I didn't know about a Nazebo rework. I think Nazebo's just fine. What the hell are you guys doing with Nazebo?
Well, you see, you made the mistake of liking him, Scott. And now that you have a hero that's new and you really like, they're going to say, well, we can't have that.
Yeah.
We better change it.
That's kind of a bummer, dude. I like him. Do we know what they're doing to those three, Bo? Did they say?
Nope. They're just, it's, you know, not news, just that they're going to be looked at. So prepare your shorts.
They indicated
in a question about Johanna that they felt that there were certain talent picks with Nazebo that felt like they defined him too much.
Mm.
And so they are probably going to get rid of some of that.
There are
auto
picks.
Your Toads of Hugeness.
Well, see, that's the thing. No one ever takes that but me, and I love Toads of Hugeness. I don't see that very often in games where I play against a Nazebo, but I think that they're really effective, and it makes me a better laner, but also in team fights, nobody likes having big fat toads hit you while you're frozen or whatever. So, but there are some auto picks, like having spiders jump at 16, doing the spider build in general till about 16 is pretty common and is sort of an auto pick. So maybe that's what they're trying to do, is say, well, we don't love auto picks. We're trying to shake things up. And
one thing I saw was that the spiders need more skill.
Mm. Oh, really?
The spiders are just throw it. Like, they want to make that more skill-based.
Oh, like this actual chucking of the spiders needs to be more skill-based.
Yeah.
Not the spiders themselves. You're not saying the spiders are not smart enough. They need to get smarter.
No, not the AI. Just the act of throwing the jar of spiders has to be more than, I just throw it over here and they'll do all the work chasing you. Like, maybe there's a bit more gameplay we could put in there, except that here's some spiders.
I don't know. I think throwing a jar of spiders at people pretty much speaks for itself.
It's kind of
the ultimate dick move you can do to somebody. Hey, I have this jar of spiders. I'm going to throw it at you.
Yeah, whatever comes out of it is going to bite you, and you're going to have to wait them out and let them die before they... Yeah. If you really think about what's happening, like, put yourself in a first... Oh, it's horrible, dude. All over this game, there's things like that.
I'd be mad if somebody threw a jar at me, period.
Yeah. Yeah, spiders are not.
Then you surprise me with, oh, and by the way, it's full of spiders. Oh, good. I'm glad you escalated that further.
Yeah. Or by now, it's even got more spiders in it, because I spec'd my jar of spiders to have more spiders in it. Oh, and by the way, now they can jump like 5 feet from behind you. So, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was worried these spiders would be relegated purely to the ground.
Yeah. And also, here's a huge toad. So enjoy that one as well. And he's huge. That's my thing, is I don't want too much change. But then I think to myself, you know what? They said, they changed Jaina, and I was worried. I really like Jaina's new thing. I don't know how that's doing for her in pro games or in high level play or anything outside of me just enjoying her, but I like how she feels now a lot. Yeah. And I do not fault what changes came to her. And I was afraid I was going to. So I'm going to be very open-minded about Nazeebo for now. The changes to Rexxar, or excuse me, to Butcher, is that just to get him out of the game forever so I never have to look at his ugly face again?
They're going
to
rework him.
Damn,
like, in the same vein of as Arthas and even Tychus, like, there's going to be a whole pile of new talents and new things to do. So they seem excited about what's in store.
What do we know about Rexxar? What's his deal? Because he's just got his dumb bear friend. What's going on with that?
I think they're just looking at that he doesn't have a lot of talent diversity, that his talent choices are uninteresting.
Yeah.
They didn't go into a lot of detail, so it's all very high-level stuff, just like basically a tease. They're like, yeah, we're looking at Butcher. You'll be happy, and that's it. So nothing detailed.
So,
same with the nerfs that are coming.
Oh, yeah, tell me who's getting nerf-sticked here.
So Kerrigan's getting sticked. Gilnaeus Pete's getting sticked. Falstad's getting sticked. Mm. That's what you said, right? Stick?
Yeah, stick. The nerf stick. I don't know why I brought that up.
I didn't like saying it three times.
Yeah.
But they're all quite powerful right now, and they let us know that they're aware of it and to expect changes. So play Kerrigan now. I have yet to lose a game with a Kerrigan on my team, including me playing it, but otherwise, and also lose almost every game versus Kerrigan.
What's up
with that? I don't know if I can do that now, though. Now that I know it's going to be taken away from me.
Yeah.
Now I'm afraid.
I don't
but
like.
She doesn't play any different. Like, they just tuned some knobs. I looked at the notes, and it's like, I don't know. Okay, she's just good now. Let's go. And so they won't know. They're just gonna tune some knobs back down. Get it in while you can.
You don't think she's gonna experience some drastic character altering?
No. It's the whole that. Like, what they did was they buffed her auto attack maybe 20% and her health 20%. They changed some talents. But I don't. Sometimes it's obvious. You're like, wow, the Tychus has minigun now. He does a ton of damage. It's not obvious to me. I feel like there's a little bit of everyone just wants her to be great.
Yeah.
So she just is great. Kind of like, I don't know, how Donald Trump is running for president because some people believe that a toupee with a body attached to it can run. Sorry, I don't know if we're supposed to be political, but
send your emails to BoShorts.
I'll take them. I don't care.
Everybody, he's Canadian.
Yeah, he's Canadian. Yeah. It's fine.
So anyways, I think people just want to believe in the Kerrigan as well. I think there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, I could see that. That happens in the game. I mean, I get that way about characters and find out that they're huge losers on hot slogs, but I like playing them, and I think they're rad because of it.
Yep.
Nazeebo, for example. So Falstad's getting nerfed, and Gilnaeus Pete. Why did Gilneas Pete? Didn't he just get buffed? What's happening there?
Yeah, but he's doing a lot of damage. He's kind of broken. I don't know. The buff, I don't know.
I don't know. Awesome, that's just what they said. Him,
yeah.
And then oh crap, what have we done?
Yeah. Now he's too awesome. Dial him back. Falstad, same deal. I don't know. What was Falstad doing so well that they.
Falstad's always good. He's just never been bad. Mm. And so they're like, yeah, we know he's never been bad. Maybe some other heroes. Yeah. Should be good
too. Now they're talking about Chen, and you've been singing the praises of Chen as if Chen is an unstoppable force of nature and there's no stopping Chen. So
they mentioned looking at again sprucing up his talents. I think within the case of Vala and Chen, it's more just they haven't been looked at for a while, so they're gonna do some minor stuff with both of them. The thing they talked about with Vala was that she chews mana up like crazy. Yeah. A lot of people complain about that when so many assassins don't.
Yeah.
So they're going to look at the quote unquote mage build for, you know, when you end up using a lot of mana with her, if there's some way that they can reward that by not having you have to go back so much.
That's probably good. It's the only complaint I have about her. Otherwise her kit and her, you know, I don't know, her trajectory since launch has been really strong. She's always been a good pick. She's always fun. We've all had our good times with Vala, but she has never been anything less than a giant chewing machine for mana. Just like a chipper, you're just shoving mana shards into it, just she's pooping it out the other end in the form of those trap things she drops, her little poops. She pisses me off when she eats so much mana, but hey, if we're heading down a path where they're going to change that, I'm all in on that. And then you're getting some minor Artanis buffs, so John, rejoice, more buffs for your favorite tank.
I will rejoice, because I don't even know that he needed them, but here they come.
Yeah.
They're taking the best hero and making him better. Why not?
And we don't know, right, what that is.
No. They're just letting us know who's next on the who to expect on the next list of those.
They did mention in their comments, which is interesting. It makes me wonder if he might also see a little bit of a nerf as well. They said buffing Artanis is very scary because sometimes he can seem almost unkillable. And I kind of quietly said to myself, yes, that's why I like him. And but I do feel like he could receive some buffs in the early game, because I think most people who play Artanis will tell you the first half of the game is real rough, and then the second half of the game is real easy. And that tends to be the way it goes with him.
Yeah, he doesn't really start to shine till after 10, it seems like. Brett Crawford, the balance designer, had something to say. Bo, you want to tell us what his little quote is here about talents?
Oh, yeah. So I picked out a couple of interesting things here. So there's never been a talent I wish we would kill with fire more than cleanse. Sorry, kill with fire more than cleanse. I really need to. Yeah.
Wow.
They have constant debates about it. And he hasn't gotten a decent night's sleep in months because of it.
Really?
And basically, it's this. Cleanse is must pick. If you're playing at a high level of competition, there's so much stun in the game that you do your team pretty much almost always a disservice by not taking it, with some exception, like if the enemy team doesn't have a lot of slow or stun. Yeah. But it can be so critical, especially with the kind of heroes that are seeing a lot more play, like Thrall and Greymane and Kerrigan for the melee assassins. But for anybody, making it must pick at high levels of play. Now, it's not that it's a must pick at all levels of play, but that it's a must pick to be competitive. And it's sort of, they're not comfortable. Like, there's three other talents on that tier, and everyone's just picking one, and their job is to make it compelling to pick all of them.
Yeah.
And there was some other conversation too that, well, they're not just going to bake it into supports. Like, everyone gets a button for cleanse at level one. Yeah. So that's not the solution either. So
for the uninitiated, give us the 401 on cleanse. What is it actually designed to do? For those who may not know.
They've changed this so much now. I believe it makes you unstoppable, which so CC can't, like, you can still take damage, but you are not affected by any forms of crowd control. And you can apply it, I think, can you still apply it preemptively? Because you're also invulnerable to it, kind of like the Medivh shield.
Yes, you can apply it preemptively.
But basically it's your oh shit button, like your wow button for your teammates.
Right.
I don't think you can cast it on yourself. And so it makes it super important. So he doesn't get sleep now, that guy.
That's a very interesting thing for him to say. I wouldn't have expected them to say if there's never been a talent they wish they could kill more, which is fascinating, because obviously if they wanted to kill it so bad, they would have. Clearly it serves a purpose. So is it just that they don't have they've got a rock to somebody, or they've got paper to somebody's rock here, but they just don't like the kind of paper. They just need a different kind of paper.
It's like if you're on Vala, your arrow was just called arrow button.
Yeah.
Like it was and we're just like, well, she's an arrow user. She has an arrow button. It's really boring. It shoots an arrow, does damage. Like cleanse literally does what it says it does. It's the same functionality across a multitude of heroes. And they have to, it's an answer to a problem that is very inelegant. They're like, oh, stun's a problem. Let's just give this button here to kill stun on all kinds of characters. And I don't think they like that.
We've talked about that on here a lot. Like, how does one fix stun? Like, being stunned is no fun, but stunning is so important as a method in the game. I have a prediction. Here you go. Ready? Scott's Bad Predictions. Brought to you by, hold on, we have a sponsor for this here. Today's Bad Predictions by Scott. Hold on. Gosh dang it. There it is. Core. Brought to you by this guy.
We may be able to locate another energy emission from the radar room.
All right, that guy. Thank you very much, Rayman. Or Rayman. Mega Man 2. what was I going to say? My prediction is that one day in this game, stun doesn't exist. It may exist in name, but it doesn't exist in function. And by that I mean we start to see things that are more like roots and less like stuns. Roots meaning things that make you stationary, but still able to cast, still able to hit, maybe with other combinations of things and coordination, you could be rooted and another character could cast something that essentially made you unstoppable for a minute. So you were basically protected from any damage. So maybe that's a way to sort of counter that or to create the same effect as a stun. I don't know, another ability might do something else. But my point is that this idea of you just being hit by a hammer or a thing and having you just go and drop your head and have a little spinny above your head, I think those days are numbered. I don't know how long they're numbered. I don't know what the exact answer is, but I think it's something in the vein of these are sort of like roots now, or something that is just a little bit less turning you off for a second or two and reserving that only for some crazy ults or something, only for when ults need to be, you know, I mean, what is Mosh Pit? It's a long stun. That's what it is. It's like a long ass stun. And they'll keep that. I'm not saying they'll change that, but they may change Muradin's hammer. It may just, I don't know, they could call it Deju or something. And the Deju just means you can't walk around, but you can still be casting and attacking and doing other things, which just means that, you know, you can't just expect the person to be powerless during that second and a half or hour long it lasts. So, yeah. I don't know. Any thoughts on that? I feel like that's a possibility anyway.
No, I think it's possible. I don't think they like the stun meta. I don't think that they like cleanse being a thing. But I think the reason that we've seen them deal with cleanse for so long while only, you know, limiting the amount of time people can be stunned for is because they have not committed to wanting to remove it yet. Yeah. So I think it's going to take something pretty dramatic for them to say, okay, yes, let's go ahead and actually remove it from the game or extremely limit it, because I feel like they're already rolling back the timing on it.
Yeah.
And that kind of indicates that they see it as a problem, but they're not ready to get rid of it yet. I do think it becomes a harder thing as they add more and more heroes to the game, because now they have to keep in the back of their minds anytime they add a hero that has some form of stun, which if the rumors are to be believed, we're going to have another one coming out with the next hero. You know, they have to keep that in mind. They have to say, okay, well, that's another hero we're going to have to address if we decide to get rid of this or change this. So that's the only reason why I wouldn't expect it to happen is because they haven't pulled that trigger yet. And I don't know if they would unless it gets dire.
Yeah. What do you think, Bo? But the roots versus stun, think it'll ever change?
It's hard. It's hard to know. I think it will, but I don't envy them their problem, because I feel like I need to go to a mountaintop and I'll come back to the podcast with an answer.
Well, it does feel like you're
we'll finish the rest of the show on Saturday. I need to go to a mountaintop.
It's a little bit like taking away, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of another game example, but it's like if you're going to take away something like jumping in Mario, you need to have a good answer for what you're going to replace it with. It's not quite that fundamental, but
jumping in Overwatch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good example. Yeah.
Or in World of Warcraft.
Or in World of Warcraft, sure. Like, you have to come up with something And it's hard. I totally agree. It's hard. I mean, I don't think they're going to do it overnight. It's going to take some time before they figure this
when
out.
When you look at what they did with World of Warcraft with stunning, because stun locking used to be a big thing in World of Warcraft, and the way that they addressed that was all these complicated mechanics, diminishing returns and resistance and all these moves that could get you out of it. And they tried to combat that in so many ways that I don't love in an MMO, but it's more acceptable in an MMO. You can have crazy concepts like that in this game. I feel like in Heroes of the Storm, you need solutions that are quick and elegant. You can't have a tooltip that's 7 pages long trying to explain the situations where a stun will be applied or escaped from. Whatever they do, it needs to be very quick and easy to read, because that's the nature of this game. Because it's not, oh, I've decided to pick a rogue, therefore I just need to worry about this, you know, set of skills and how that plays out. It's, I'm picking from one of potentially, you know, hundreds of heroes in the future. I need to be able to quickly and easily understand how that works.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's talk about what we heard. Whoops, my camera went weird. From Adam Jackson, former president of the United States. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Andrew Jackson. No, he wasn't president. Anyway, he was. Anyway, Adam Jackson, balance designer. History.
And president.
And president.
And maybe president.
He said this. He says, we've made a conscious decision to make our heroes much more narrowly focused, where they shine in certain situations but are much less useful in others. We think that this makes drafting in esports a lot more interesting. It also allows us to push heroes and their limits further. I think what he means there is specialization of character.
This was in response to, because a lot of this is condensed down from the wall of text that is Reddit. Right. It's in response to the you know, heroes used to have more than one function. Like, you can build a character this way or build a character that way.
Yeah.
They're getting away from that design because they want to lead into whatever the actual gimmick of a character is. Mm. So if you think of, like, even if you think of a character like Sonya, who kind of fits this role of, is she a tank or is she a bruiser? Well, they've leaned into her bruiser style, right? Mm. Like, it's not that she has to have the tank build, then have the bruiser build.
It's like it's their move away from homogenization of characters and class types, and you're seeing it across a lot of Blizzard games. Like, primarily in World of Warcraft, they're making a huge effort to say these characters all do these very specific things, and they're very focused in those areas, and, you know, balance be damned to some degree. We want everyone to behave the way they should if they are a real mage or a paladin or whatever, which is really exciting to me on the MMO level. And I think I like the thinking in a MOBA as well. But are you worried about flexibility? Like, I want to be able to say, well, I need to be more tanky because the rest of my team of randos is really poorly made, and I need to figure out a way to survive better because I don't have good healers here, or whatever the answer is. Like, I don't want them to go too far, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I think if they're balancing it around the 5-man, though, and not the solo queue hero league style, then the 5-men should be, or 5-men and women should be, sorting out what, you know, where their weaknesses are and getting that sorted. And then if, you know, in quick match it just doesn't work out and the experience isn't as good, well, you know, that's secondary imbalance, I think.
Them's the breaks, you'd say.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He says, he also went on to say, same guy, Adam Jackson, while we want every hero to be viable in competitive play, we are okay with lower skilled heroes seeing much less play. The issue we run into if lower skilled heroes have the same output as those that are harder to play is that competitive play tends to be dominated by the lower skilled heroes, who are also less interesting to watch because they are more consistent. At the end of the day, we think it's healthier for the game for high skilled heroes to have a higher output potential to compensate for the risk that a team runs in drafting them. I think that makes a lot of mathematical sense. I also think it puts a little bit of a window on Blizzard and says, hey, they're very interested in how this is to watch, not just play. I mean, they basically said it right there. If I'm not saying there's anything nefarious about that, but that is absolutely showing their cards about one of the big motivators for this game, is they've got to get it to a place where this is something everybody wants to watch.
Well, and nothing looks worse than having a roster of, again, I'm going to keep rounding up, considerably, but having a roster of 100 heroes and you watch a professional game and you see the same 10 heroes in every single match, unless they got banned and then you got two alternates, that's not exciting or fun for anybody. It's like, oh, and usually the ones that are picked aren't the most interesting. Like, I love Muradin to death, but he's not the most exciting character in the world to look at. He's just a little dwarf man that occasionally flies through the air. You know, that's about as hype as it gets.
He cracks wise, but it's about his only flashy moments is when he's joking around, you know?
So it's very understandable that they want to say, hey, let's put in heroes that simply perform better if you take the risk. Risk versus reward. Been around in gaming forever.
Yep. It's the, you might say it's gaming itself.
yep, I do. Every day.
All right. What else? Claudio Gentili. Gentilini
into that intro.
Genital leanings. Got it. says this, for all the hubbub they minion damage increase caused, that's what he's talking about, when we announced this on the PTR, he says, mostly from our poorly written patch notes, where they threw somebody under the bus there, we haven't heard much about them since we shipped them, which is good. We've seen game times reduce slightly, which is a positive outcome. We'll keep monitoring this further to see if anything else shakes loose. So back Tuesday when we talked about the change with minions, it's interesting to get some stuff in the intervening time that is speaking directly to it, and shorter matches was one of their goals, I think. But that's interesting. So if they haven't had like major blowback, I think that's good. You know?
Yeah. I think I haven't heard a lot of negative commentary in association with the changes so far.
Yeah. Claudio,
so that's good.
Claudio Gentilini again. Gentilini, right? When you're here, you're family. Anyway, the current focus is on Haunted Mines, but Garden is next on our list to hit when we have time for another rework. So that tells us they're reworking Haunted Mines. Doesn't that answer that long question about whether that would ever see the light of day again?
It does, yeah. And it also leans into their earlier statement about, hey, we'd like to come up with ways to maybe split people off to where they have to work on different things. Maybe that's going to be a core mechanic in this new Haunted Mines.
Yeah.
Maybe it has three lanes now.
Ooh, maybe. That could change some things, couldn't it, with that game in terms of flow and its snowball potential? I think that sounds great. Three-lane Haunted Mines. They sure have been working on it for a while, though. It's been out of rotation since we got...
If they work on it so much, that might mean it's just effectively like a new map.
Yeah, that could be. I'm cool with that. The idea of a rework and the way that they also do character reworks is kind of interesting. Like, you know, Sky Temple taking it down for 5 months. Come on back when it's all new, you know? Like, that's kind of cool in a way.
It's like a Disneyland ride.
Yeah.
Hey, we took down the Haunted Mansion, but it's going to be back and look like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Way more brandy and sellouty, but come on in and enjoy.
But let's look at what's really great about this answer.
All right.
Maybe once we get Haunted Mines back, they'll take away Garden of Terror.
Yeah. Well, that's what it sounds like. Because they say it's next, if that's what they mean. I mean, maybe it won't take as long, but if by next they mean same way we did this other one, that means it may disappear for a while. I'm down with that. That'd be great. What do you guys even think they could do to that map, though? I feel like fundamentally Garden of Terror needs to get a tweak. But what these will all feel like at the end is it'll feel like Cataclysm in World of Warcraft. It's just like this. Remember that zone? It was all desert and like dragons and stuff. Look at it now. It's lush green and it's amazing. There's a big fish there. You know, I think that's cool.
It's Garden of Terror, but now there's a big lava thing right in the middle.
Yeah.
Lots of lava.
Yeah. Barons, baby. Final from another mention from Andrew Jackson. Sorry, Adam Jackson. Jeez, Scott. He's still pissed about Harriet Tubman taking his place on the 20. Anyway, says this. A typical work day. Sorry, Canada. You guys don't know what's going on with our money down here, do you? You guys and your weird money with holes in it. Okay.
No idea.
It's fine. Typical workday looks like this, he says. They're talking about their kind of process there. It says, get to work, play a game of Hero League, have a small meeting to go over our recent changes, then have our morning play test. Talk about the results of the play test, then go to lunch. Yeah, dude.
That's me writing, wow, I want that life.
Yeah.
That seems... Come into the morning and play a game of Hero League?
Yeah.
Sign me up.
It seems like an okay job. I'm guessing that the balance team is not just some QA team. Like, this isn't just some, hey, you out of high school trying to earn a little extra money for college? Come on in and be a playtester here at Sony Interactive or whatever. This is like a serious job where things really matter. Like, balance is everything in that game. So it's not like they're just, you know, this isn't just some summer job. These guys are like serious, you know, serious part of the design team. And to have that kind of be your typical day, that's badass. That sounds great. Come on in, play a game. Are they playing each other? I assume so.
Right. Well, if it's Hero League, they're playing customers, I assume. So you never know. If you're logging in that morning, you might be, you know, might want to check your toxicity. You might be talking to the balance team, and they may just, I don't know, unbalance your account.
Yeah.
They're like, minus 10% secret, minus 10% damage to this player's account.
What if
just calls that a weekend.
Like, what if they say, what if you're playing one of those guys and they're a problem? What if one of them's having a bad day and he says, learn your character, noob, or something like that? I mean, what are you going to do, report a Blizzard guy? You'd never know.
Oh, I would totally report a Blizzard guy if I had the choice.
Yeah, especially if
just
you said,
because I think it'd be funny.
Toxic behavior from
I don't think this guy's bringing anything good to the game.
From Claudio Gentilini. Final deal here. Oh, that was it. That was the final deal. When I say deal and it being final, that was it. All right, we have so Tuesday we talked about doing a code, but then we said we weren't going to do a code, but are we going to do a code?
We should do a code. I have a code.
All right, chat room, you're going to win a code. And here's how we're going to do it. One of you live listeners, I'll give them a second to catch up to the stream, will have an opportunity to win. You have Falstad, is that who it is?
Yeah, the soon-to-be nerfed Falstad.
That's right, Falstad getting a big nerf, so get him while you can. A free code to download and own Falstad in your collection of heroes and Heroes of the Storm can be yours shortly if you get... Should we have the first person to say an answer right or something? How do you want to do this? We didn't really plan this.
Oh, you're the trivia man. What do you want to do?
Yeah, what do you think there?
These things take time. They have to percolate. Somebody... I don't know. Vag! I'm on the spot. And I'm flaking.
Sounds like you yelled Vag, but I know you didn't. But that's what I heard in my head.
You just saw a sudden picture of Zagara.
That's right. Well, I have a theme for it. Let me play the theme. There you go.
I like it.
All right.
Now I'm in the mood for some trivia.
All we need is a good question, like, hey.
Like Mega Man.
Even a Falstad question. All right. So I got one. Here you go. First person to put into the chat room the name, and this is in the Twitch chat, by the way. We're not looking at the other one. The name of Falstad's ultimate gets it. So very first name gets the code.
One.
Which one?
Whatever his ultimate. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, both his ultimates. You have
He's
to put
got
both.
Two.
I know.
Do they need both or do they just need to name one?
One accurately. We'll say that.
Okay.
How about
first
that?
One to put an accurate
thing.
Finished business.
Yeah.
It's already been suggested.
And it's, oh, someone already did it. Did they get it?
Bacon wins.
Yeah, bacon. Oh, bacon wins.
Bacon always.
Hinterland Blast. You got it totally right. Stumpwater Jack. Shit, he says. There'll be more chances to win. We're going to give some more of these codes away as time goes on. I've got a Jaina for next week, and we got all kinds of stuff. So don't worry your little heads, everybody. Everything's fine.
All right. Bacon, I'm sending you your code. Enjoy.
Now. Well done. In the waning moments of today's episode, I would like to play for you a phone call from a listener. This came to us at 801-471-0462. You can also email questions, thoughts, comments, and attachments, if you'd like, to core@heroesforyou.com. I'll let this person explain.
First off, great show. Love Next Jeopardy, whatever.
He loves it so much you can't say it right.
It's part of the charm is that it's hard to pronounce.
I agree. All right, here's more.
So my question was, I was playing some D3 and the leaderboard's there, you know, big deal, all that. And Heroes has leaderboards, but what would you think about an all-consuming leaderboard? So you still have, you know, your bronze, silver, all that, but you could go to the leaderboards, put in your name, and you can see I'm player 5 million or whatever. I think it might be kind of cool to see, you know, a direct correlation where you're climbing in the total populace. Yeah, let's hear your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
All right. Great question, but here's the problem. They would essentially be revealing MMR at that point, would they not?
Yeah, but Dustin Browder agrees with you. He's been out publicly saying, I don't know why we don't just show MMR.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, aren't you the master of what happens in this game? Yeah. He's like, no, I just work here. I'm just the game director.
It's like, aren't you the man in charge of that entire thing? Who makes that decision, I wonder? Like, who is that says that? It's not like Morheim comes in with a knife and says, I will cut you.
The knife.
I will cut the first person who shows MMR.
That's right. Don't even think about it. Okay, boss. You know, like, I don't know.
I imagine that Mike Morheim also got that from, like, a spiritual consultant, kind of like Silicon Valley style.
Totally. They all have these life coaches that tell them to, like, carry a knife or whatever.
Should I let our players see MMR? He's like, what do the winds tell you? Well, the winds don't really like the MMR, I don't think. Yeah. Okay, no MMR.
MMR.
If Mike Morheim has a knife, let's be realistic. He got it from Gabe Newell when they settled the lawsuit over Dota 2.
Yeah.
That's what they got out of the deal. They're like, okay, you can still be Dota 2, and we'll change to Heroes of the Storm, but I'm taking one of your knives, Gabe.
Yep. I like it. They fought like this.
Isn't I got 100 knives.
There's a fighting. I have some fighting music for that. Hold on.
Oh.
You know, like from Star Trek? Is this it?
Yeah.
That's not it.
Yep. Big tussle. Throwdown.
When you're a jet, you're a jet. Anyway, so there's that. I know. I like the idea of it. I think that is what that would do, though. They would reveal MMR in a way that they have yet to not do. So if they ever do it, then why not? Like, if they ever decide, hey, MMR is now a public thing, or at the very least some sort of representation of MMR is a thing, then they would have no reason not to just do a big leaderboard. But I think that requires that, and if they're not willing to do that, we may never see this. So there you go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what would it be? What would the leaderboard be? Wins and losses, and that's it? If that's all you're going to show?
It would have to be your MMR points, I think.
Yeah, to be meaningful, yes, I agree.
That would be the ego rankings.
But the
I'm 5 million and you're 7 million, I'm better than you.
But the half-assed way you could do it would be to say, wins, like total number of wins, here's the leaderboards. And you could go that simple if you wanted. I just don't think that's that meaningful, you know?
It can't be just wins, because then the worst player who puts in all the volume could still be leader.
Exactly.
And that's not really, I always love those metrics where, like, in some leaderboards you can sort by who has the best kill death ratio in the shooter, who's played the most hours, and it's usually somebody that isn't as good at the game but who's played like 152 days straight or something. Yeah. Like, why do we need that? We don't need that.
Yeah. Also, so, I'm wondering if it suddenly hit me, it has nothing to do with what you just said, but it hit me that maybe Bacon got that answer right because he already owns Falstad. I don't know. Like, yeah. I guess that's not necessarily true. Like, I know Mosh Pit, and I don't own ETC, or maybe I do, but I don't play him. So maybe I'm just making stuff up in my head. Look at this guy.
I mean, he said thank you, not I have that already, go away. So
well, then all right.
He does own Falstad.
You do own Falstad. Well, what'd you take the code for?
Well, he'll find it. See, what I was going to suggest, if that's true, he should just find a friend and give it to who doesn't own it. That's yeah. Totally fine. Yeah. But don't just try to sell it or something. That'd be weird.
You won the cut. If you win $1 million and you already have $1 million, you still get to have $1 million.
But that's not how heroes work.
You're not going
to
get super
Falstad. You don't get to play two Falstads because you own two Falstads.
But you could just have it on your shelf to look at. It's yours to do with what you want.
Yeah.
Yes, Bacon, you can do what you want America. With it, but you should probably, I don't know, put the code in the chat or give it to someone you like.
Yeah.
Wrap it up for Valentine's Day.
It's not like Pokemon where you can turn him into the dude and he'll give you some candy for it, or combine him with another Falstad and end up with like Falstadosaur or something.
Oh, like, I see you have two Falstads. Well, now you can queue a super Falstad.
All right. That's not a bad idea.
Just to continue this narrative on the podcast, it has nothing to do with the... For the podcast listeners, he's put the code in Twitch chat.
That's even worse. Because then, now it's just a dog pile. Well,
everybody go.
Well done, Bacon. You gave us heart attacks and you gave away a code. All right. That's it for calls. Thank you guys for sending your calls in. It's going to do it for the show. It seems, to us right now, this very second, it seems short, but it's not. It's like the exact time it's supposed to be. It's just that we had part of a show the other day and now we're finishing it. But we'll be back next week, Tuesday, in fact, with a whole new show. So right away, you'll be getting new stuff. Like, there's no time at all between now and Tuesday. In fact, it may be kind of a problem. There may not be a lot of news. We don't care. We're still coming back. We'll have stuff to talk about. Like how Anna might work in Heroes of the Storm. I want to actually talk about that. If she is ever chosen from the Overwatch roster as a support character, how would she work?
If they just made her a skin for Nova.
Yeah, think of that. Actually, you know what she would be?
Set a whole bunch of people off with that comment.
Here's all she would have to do. Here's the problem. Okay, imagine if Morales could do, because she has her healing beam, right? So she's healing. Imagine if when I targeted, so when I target an ally, I'm healing them. And if I target an enemy, I'm damaging them. That's basically it, right? I mean, I know it's not a beam, it's a bullet, but that's really all we're saying. So there's possibilities there. She's really fun, by the way. Have you guys, either of you played with her much since the...
I haven't played her at all. I haven't played Overwatch since the patch.
Oh my gosh, you should get in there. It's great.
Or the patch. Yeah, there's been problems.
Yeah, the biggest problem has been everybody wants to play her. And now I understand, this is obviously Overwatch related, but now I understand why Blizzard in this same patch decided to make it so in competitive mode, there can never be more than one of every character in the game on your team.
Yeah.
So you can never have two or three or more Soldier 76s or whatever. And I think that is not by mistake that that was released at the exact same time as a new character. Otherwise, you would have really effed up competitive by everybody trying to play that character at once. And you see this in Heroes, right? Like Heroes has this thing where if a new character comes out on a Tuesday, everybody goes nuts to try to play that character. And that means you're going to see her in every game, he or her, him or her, in every game, and someone on your team is always going to be that person, maybe even you. But the reason Heroes has an advantage in this way is you're locking into five for the entirety of the map, or of the game, rather. So when you do that, it may take you longer to queue, but eventually you're going to find some combination that you can get into, in Quick Match anyway. In Overwatch, you're supposed to be changing characters all the time. So it totally makes sense to me why it's different and why it's a challenge for them. But man, for the first, I don't know, day, maybe 2 days in Quick Match, it was rough. It was all Ana all the time. And you just couldn't get some good team comps going. It's really thinned out since then, though, and not really been a problem. And I really like her a lot. And I think she's great. And I'll say this one last thing. When you're up against a team of nothing but really good Junkrats, just kiss your ass goodbye, dude. I've never been so dominated than I was the other night by a bunch of Junkrats altogether. It was the worst.
Like six Junkrats?
Yep. It was horrifying.
They were all coordinating?
Very very coordinated. Guys up in rafters, behind lines, in front of lines. Like, I've never seen so many little balls landing, so many tires exploding at once. Like, it was just mayhem. And
that
I'm
sounds
not,
like fun. We
yeah,
do that sometime.
And I'm not sure, in the wrong hands is probably a terrible comp, but these guys were very experienced. They all had Korean names. They just bought Tempest. They were very excited. anyway, that game's great. Continues to be good. All right, so what else? That's it. We're done. We're out. So come on back, everybody, next week. Heroes4U.com is the website. AlphaGeekRadio.com. Co-hosts this show while we play it live. So some of you are hearing it that way right now. Big thanks to them. Join us in the game /joinFrogPants in the game and join us because we'd like to play with you. CoreheroesForYou.com is the email address. 801-471-0462 is the phone number. You can leave a voicemail. Follow us on Twitter. CoreHeroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. It's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Something is not right here. Be cautious.
All right, geez.